But I didn't. Yeah, I know I got a lot of folks out there. I'm sure never thought they'd see me standing behind this pulpit. You know, this church means so much to us, our family, and me and Tim go way back to when we was building this thing. And I remember Dad working us pretty hard building this park and tearing down the old house. And we were just in school, and I asked my Uncle Randolph, he's probably the oldest one. I asked him, you know, my granddaddy, big daddy, I said, why did they start another church? You know, and usually when a church starts, typically, you know, of course one breaks up or somebody gets mad within a church and starts another church. But that wasn't the reason why this church was started. Randolph, he never knew. And I asked him about it because I just wondered about that. But my grandfather, big daddy, he had a vision for starting this church. And I remember in that one little dirt floor church right there on 84 that we started out at. I remember me and Tim used to bounce rocks off folks' heads, man, little pickup rocks on the floor there, you know. We were pretty mischievous back then. But it is an opportunity. I look around, I see so many empty spots and representing our family, you know, my mom and my dad, my granddaddy and grandma, and so many spots, so special. This church is so special. Always a loving church, and you know, and that's the greatest commandment, right? If you can't find love in a church, where else are you gonna find it, really? You know. But I don't know, what am I doing? What am I doing there, brother? Take this off. Yeah, we turn this unit off right here. You set me up back there. Gary King done this. Set me up for failure, Bo. No, it is an opportunity, and everybody, I mean, maybe everybody knows, you know, I'm kind of struggling, you know, I've had a few struggles with cancer. Back in October, I found out I had a brain tumor. I knew that something was going on in my life. I knew that. I knew that something was right. I knew that I had signs and indications that I just didn't want to adhere to. I knew I was running with my check engine light on. And I just didn't take the effort to find out. But I was also running with my check engine light spiritually, too. You know, not only physically, but spiritually. And sometimes I think God just lays something on you like as big a word as cancer to really humble you down and make you be a witness that he always wanted you to be and have the opportunities that he always wanted you to have and do the thing. So one thing, you know, it's had a tremendous effect on my life. I've never been any closer to God during this battle. I suppose one thing, number one, it brings you, you really look at things in perspective. In reality, and the things that really you think matter don't really matter when it comes down. The only thing that really matters is God at the end of the day. That's the only thing you can kind of hang on to and take with you, that's for sure. But, you know, I certainly support all my family and friends. The prayers in this church so much has supported me. A lot of prayers. I was diagnosed with brain cancer, and, you know, I had a tumor back in October, and I went to Atlanta and had that thing removed. And I was like anybody else when I was scared to death when I heard the word I had cancer, you know. I had that word, it really scared me. But I never really lost faith. It never broke me down or nothing. I was really just crumbled over it. I just took it as it was. And I went up there and had that surgery, and praise God, I was checked in on that afternoon and the next morning. I was in the ICU, and the next morning, I told that doctor when he come around that morning, I told him I'd arm wrestle him to get out of there. And he didn't want to arm wrestle, but he sent this lady down there as a physical therapist, and she put me through the drunken, she said, the drunk test. I never had one before, but boy, she put me through some moves, and I passed everything with flying colors, and they said, we just can't hold you here, you know? And that right there, that was God. That was not... You know, that was God's plan. I mean, it just blew them away that I was able to have that surgery. And actually, I wanted to walk out, but against the policy for me to walk out. You know, they rolled me out to my truck, and I come to Alabama that afternoon. And I read my discharge paper and said, you're going to have severe headaches for a month or two. You're going to have me loaded with pain medicine to take. And I never took the first one, never had the first headache.
Any brain tumors?
You know, I never, and all these treatments I've taken, these chemo treatments, you know, I've actually, I've never been sick, you know? I've never been sick and actually continue gaining weight, you know? They put me on a diet and said, organic and eat this. And I said, Lord, I'm going to blow up and blow dry away. And I think I've gained about 10 pounds. But I've just been so blessed through this whole thing. But one thing, even Thailand and talking about this, you know, is when I started kind of putting together my, you know, I looked at it, you know, Thailand, things you can't put a price on, you know, things you can't put a price on. And then a friend of mine, a mentor, he shared a story with me about a guy there in Dothan, Alabama, the old downtown Porter Hardware back in the days. He said he's a veterinarian by trade, so there's a pair of mules and a wagon hooked up there, and it's what you caught his eye. But he said that the guy, he talked to the guy coming out, and the guy told him that he was doing mission work, and he was doing mission work, and he was to the people living under the bridges. And and he said he was able to do that because he lived on a bridge before himself. And that's kind of where I'm at in with my struggles. You know, I'm able to help people that's moving under the bridge. My experiences and stuff I've already gone through, I've been able to use that to talk to people that's just getting hammered with that cancer word, you know, and be able to help them with things I've already gone through. And be able to help them and challenge them, you know, be able to relate to them from a mental, physical, and even a spiritual standpoint to help them go through what's ahead of them. And so tonight, that's kind of what I just would like to talk to you, you know, a little bit about, you know, some of where I've been and maybe it will help somebody. You know, I've had an opportunity. I've had this friend of mine. He was diagnosed with cancer, and he was a rough character. He was a Vietnam vet. He was a special force guy, and he's just rough. You know, he was rough. A great guy, but he found out he was eat up with cancer, and it just God just put him on my heart that I just could not hardly stand it. Know that he was dying and gonna go to hell. Because he wasn't saved, you know. He admittedly told me, you know, and I'd go up and talk to him, and some days he'd feel like getting out of bed, and some days he wouldn't. But I finally got the opportunity to sit down with him and just share, you know, my story with him. And I said, the only difference between me and you, we're all dying. I'm dying, you're dying too, and we're all dying. That's easy to say. But the only difference is I got a peace that passes all understanding, you know. And he didn't have that, but he called me Thanksgiving night. I said, my Danny was my brother. My phone rang. He decided he was going to follow Jesus. You know, I would have never, ever been able to make that, you know, to convert anyone. I've never converted. I know I've planted a lot of seed, but I've never really had somebody come back and tell me directly because me or my testimony that he turned his life to God. And I just rejoiced when he called me that night. But I would have never been able to do that if I hadn't have been living under the bridge, just like him, you know. And so to me, you know, I think you can find even in challenges of life and everything, there's always a positive out of everything. So it gave me an opportunity to be. But in the book of Romans in 8:18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Amen. Huh? So everything we go through in life, there is no comparison of what God has for us offered us. There's nothing to even compare it with. There's no sufferings that we go through compared with the glory. And, of course, Romans 8:28, we know that. When we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and call according to his purpose. And we all have a purpose, right? We all have a purpose in life. We might not know it, we may not recognize it, but we certainly have a purpose in life. We all have a gift. God has given each one of us a gift to use. And mine, when I first got hammered with the fact that I got cancer, you know, I went in a panic mode of getting my stuff together because I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to retire. I wasn't ready. I didn't have nothing going. I didn't have nothing ready. I wasn't thinking about maybe perhaps dying from cancer, you know. But So I went into a panic mode and getting everything prepared, you know, trying to get Social Security and trying to get retirement, trying to do this and that, and dealing with people on the phone. And, man, that's, you know, I would get so doggone aggravated. I just had to get out and walk around, you know, and I'd come back and get back on the phone and start calling. And it just occurred to me that, you know what, if I was writing a book for estate planning for dummies, it would be like the first tick box would be, are you saved? Do you have Christ? Have you checked that box and you know in your heart of hearts that you got things right? Then nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Proceed to checkout because nothing else matters. Rest everything is cluttered in your life. And even Jesus says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And in essence, Jesus was just telling us, hey, don't worry about those human concerns, and to instead place our greatest priority on seeking God's kingdom. The worldly thing we hold so dear and work so hard to obtain will only leave us empty at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you really only thing you'll have is God. The only thing left is God and family, you know, and of course, brothers, sisters in Christ, and loved ones. But at the end of the day, that's all you got. That's all you're going to have. Nothing else, you know. I confess before men and God that, hey, I never really sought the kingdom of God like I should. I sought money. I sought, you know, pay raises. I sought positions in life. I had a lot of things. I never really sought the kingdom of God. I never put my focus on just seeking getting that right. You get that right, you got everything right. It took me a while even to realize it. I wasted a lot of my life too. I wasted a lot of my life thinking, you know, that I had everything right, and in reality I didn't. You know, I was going back to that, you know, I was running that check engine light on spiritually as well and physically. But thank God, you know, I had an opportunity to get my life in order and make sure, you know, it was, I know you're probably aware of it, you know, three fishermen last week at Lake Eufaula, they went out for all of them in their 50s, you know, and they went out on a boat for crappy fishing, and the next thing you know, they were dragging for all the bodies, you know, they were all, and none of those people left at home at night and expected not to come back home, expecting to be that the last fishing trip or last time they got to see their loved ones, you know. So I'm so glad that I had the opportunity, you know, to get my business in order, because you just don't know. You just, you know, the challenge for every one of us, you know, we're all going to die. Nobody's getting out of here alive. I'm not saying you, we're all going to die. That's a promise from God, right? You know, so, you know, the challenge for every one of us is to be prepared, right? Stay ready. Stay prayed up. Stay ready. Know that you got it. And you seek first the kingdom of God. You got that right. And if you got that right, hey, what else is it? You know, what else is it? And I was reading, I was studying the book of John there the day. I was reading about Jesus and his disciples, and they come upon a blind man. See, blind birth in John chapter 9. 1, it says, they went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And they said, neither. He said, neither. This man or his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be made manifest in his life. Yeah? So, and that's kind of the way I look at where I'm at with my disease. You know, God is, you know, he's given me this disease, but it's opportunity. It's opportunity to show Jesus to other folks. You know, it's an opportunity for me what time I got left, you know. Because I, hanging out around those cancer centers, I can pick them out. I can see people that, you know, haven't got any hope. They don't have any hope. They have just a blank stare on their face and absolutely no hope. And my prayer has always been that God put somebody in front of me that has not got the hope, the faith, you know, that I can inspire. I can make a difference in their life. You know, I want to use this disease, I suppose, to help someone else, help them, people that are actually moving under the bridge. And I'm kind of like the blind man, you know. He was born blind, but that God may be manifesting his life. And And I was realizing, you know, even with this church, you know, I see this beautiful building, I see where this old block building came from, where we at, and where we at right now, you know. And I look around this church, you know, and it's a beautiful building for believers to congregate together and share. But then again, these walls never saved anybody's soul, have they? You know, never saved anybody. You know, but that's one thing I really realized too during this walk is I am the church. You know, yeah. I am the church. Yeah. Hey, when I love, the church love. When I go, the church goes. When I reach out, the church reaches out. When I give, the church give. But when I don't, the church don't, you know. So I one thing I have realized too, that I am the church, you know. It is up to me to put legs on the vision of this church and spread the good news, the gospel. And so I've had an opportunity, and I don't know why people have asked me to come speak, and certainly not a speaker. I'm certainly out of my element standing up here right now. But it's an opportunity to share. It's an opportunity to share Jesus and the love of Jesus Christ. Because, I mean, God has been so good to me. He has been so good to me. I mean, I've never taken a pill in my life until here recently, you know. And now I got a sack full out there. But they're vitamin. Most of them are vitamin. I don't take one prescription, but I got this homeopathic doctor. She must be having stock in vitamin companies, but I got a sack full of vitamin I have to give every day. But the other thing, you know, I suppose to me is I'm having not too many times in life you get the backspace, or I think a golfer's call it a mulligan, where you get to do things over, right? So now in my industry, I worked in the oil field and worked in the industry 30-something years. And so I have people reaching out as the word gets around that, hey, old Coop's got cancer. And so people are coming back to me in friendship and say, so I'm having an opportunity to say something I should have said years ago. I'm having an opportunity. Now, you don't get that much in life. You don't get an opportunity to backtrack. And somebody say, hey, Coop, you was always my hero. Or you was always this. You was always my good friend. But you know what? I never shared Jesus with them. I never shared that with them most of the time. In a work-like setting, it's hard to share. You know, I mean, it's really pretty tough in the world we live in. But I know we just got through with a study, you know, on the church I go to back home. And what a good neighbor looks like. You know, what it takes to be a good neighbor. You know, loving your neighbor as yourself. And I would like to share. To me, what a good neighbor looks like. And y'all know this month, a year ago, my brother was laying right here. And, you know, and we still grieve over my brother, but I still rest assured I can still have a peace that God has my brother right where he wants him, you know. And but Beverly shared this story, and I think it's an awesome, awesome story. But when Tony, you know, found out he had pancreatic cancer, and we all know that's not a good cancer to have, no cancer, but pancreatic is probably the worst. But, you know, when that doctor told Tony that, Tony got up and left Beverly sitting in there with the doctor and walked out in the parking lot. He was devastated. And and Beverly looked out, and this black man had his arm around him, and he walked up to my brother and said, hey, like you got some bad news. And he said, mind if I pray with you? Huh? How about that? Could have been an angel, huh? But my mentor, my friend, I honestly believe this, I've done it since he, you know, shared this with me. He told me, he said, there's no better way to transfer the love of Jesus Christ from one man to another, or one person to another, and to put your arms around his neck and say, hey, can I pray with you? Transfer the love of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit living within you that he transferred. And that man, in the day and age we live in, that's inspiring to me, that somebody would walk by. You know, most people don't want to get involved this day and age. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to get caught up. Right. And they don't want to get involved and they don't want to overstep. But somebody to say, hey, look, you just got some bad news. I want to pray with you. That's an awesome, awesome experience. I wish I knew who he was. I wish I knew who he was. I would I'd like to put my arm around his neck and pray with him. But that story right there, that just when you look at a good neighbor, a good Samaritan, And it challenges me to think what I would do in the same situation. Would I continue to walk by, or would I stop and say, hey, can I pray with you? And that's a challenge for all of us, you know. It's not just, you know, just me. It's a challenge for each and every one of us to call ourselves Christian. And what would we do in a situation like that? But I'm so glad that gentleman there stopped and put his arm around my brother and shared the love of Jesus Christ with him that day. You know, that's awesome testimony to anybody, to any Christian. I mean, just, you know, that's putting legs on it right there, you know. You know, you pray all you want to, sometimes I've got to put legs on it, huh? What I was told one time. But anyway, I just know that, you know, through me, it's just in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's the one thing I lean on, God for peace. You know, I look for God for peace. And wisdom, and the opportunity to share God's love, the love of Jesus Christ that lives in each and one, every one of us. And I just, I know we got ice cream in the back. You know, I already been reprimanded here. Matthew can't eat none of that, son. So you don't need to start telling me that. But what an opportunity to stand in this church here, because it means so much to me. It means so much to my family, and it means so much to each and every one of you represented here to be able to stand here and just give a short testimony of what God's done for me in my life and how he's blessed me and my family. And yes, I thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah.
For us to do, I'd like for us to all stand, and if I could, I'd like Ailish to come and play. I just want us to have a invitation tonight. There's people all over.